Psalm 27, when you've found your place, you can go ahead and stand out of respect for God's word, and we'll just read the whole psalm. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." This is the key verse in this psalm. I had fainted. I'm glad he didn't stop there. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When David is writing this psalm, I believe he's in some kind of trouble. And I don't know what kind of trouble that was. I'm sure if I had, I didn't look it up. I didn't try to research what other people thought it was. But there are several different times where maybe David could have written this. You know, he spent a long time being chased by Saul. I don't know if you've ever read 1 and 2 Samuel. I guess just 2 Samuel. But that's pretty much all that happened, was that David got chased by Saul. And then when he finally did become king, he had to fight the Philistines. They were still in the land, and he had to fight them. And then afterwards, there was an uprising from his own son, Absalom. And so there were plenty of times where David was in trouble. And that's when he would have written this psalm. One of those times when he's in trouble. And so what does David do when he's facing trouble? How does David go on? How does he keep going when he's troubled? Well, he starts by remembering what God had done for him in the past. If we look there in verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So David remembered that the God who depends on nobody, the God who hung the stars in place, the God who gave the sun for light for the day and the moon at night, the God who created everything. We just went through the days of creation with the 3- and 4-year-olds, and that was fun. They're 3 and 4, so I'm not really sure exactly how much they got out of it, but we went through it anyways. And so that was the God who created the heavens, the God who pulled the water back from the earth, or from the dry ground, so that the trees and the plants could grow. The God who, in all of his creativity, created all of the birds of the air, all of the fish of the sea, all of the beasts of the field, everything. And everything is dependent on God, but God is dependent on nobody. And David reminds himself, that God, the Almighty Jehovah, is my light. The God who gave the sun for light was a light to David's feet and a lamp to his path. And because of that, David had no reason to fear. David remembered that God was his strength. The one who raises up nations and who topples empires was David's source of strength. Now, if David had to trust in his own strength, if it was just David against whatever trouble he was in, and I don't know what trouble it was. Maybe it was Saul. Maybe it was Absalom. Maybe it was, I don't know. It could have been 100 other things. But if David had had to depend on his own strength, he would have had reason to be afraid. He would have had good reason to be afraid because he's one man. And, you know, maybe he could say, I have my mighty men, however many he had. I wish I remembered the answer right now. But if he had had all of his mighty men, if he had had his army with him, there's only so much they can do if they're depending on their own strength. But David reminded himself that my strength is from the God Almighty. And David remembered what God had done for him in the past. Keep reading there in verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now, is this past or present tense? Past tense. You're like, it's summer and it's Wednesday night and we've all graduated. We shouldn't have to be asking about what tense it's in. It's past tense. I'll give you the answer. This is something that had happened before David had experienced before, was that when his enemies came upon him to eat up his flesh, as he puts it, they stumbled and they fell. And though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, I don't know, but maybe David was thinking back to a valley between two mountains. And on the one side, you had the army of the children of Israel. They were cowering in fear because on the other mountain, there were the Philistine army. And their champion, Goliath, who towered over everybody. Everybody on the Israelites' camp was afraid to go see him. And the Philistines are just foaming at the mouth, just raring to go. I don't even know if that's the right word, but they're ready to go. They're ready to go get Israel. And David, maybe that's what David's thinking about when he says, my enemy came upon me to eat up my flesh, and they stumbled and fell. Not because of his strength, but because God was his light, God was his strength. So when David's in trouble, he begins by reminding himself, wait a minute, so what do I know for certain? What are the facts? The facts is, that's my God, and that's what he's done for me in the past. And so because that's who God is and that's what he's done for me, here I am in the present. And even if a host encamps against me, I'm not going to be afraid. What do I have to fear? And so because David knew who God was, because he had seen him work in the past, David expected what God's response would be. So David knew, I'm going to continue to seek the Lord because I know what he's done in the past. And so I have no reason to fear. And so no matter what happens, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to spend time with him because of who he is, because of what I know he's done for me. Look there in verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, the sign of a healthy Christian is how much we desire to seek the Lord, how much we desire to pursue after Him. You know, in the time of trouble, David knew that God is going to hide me. God would be the one to hide me. He knew that God would shelter David in His presence. You know, He may not have led David to an impenetrable fortress. He may not have led him to a cave, which he did. But in any trouble, David knew, this is the place that I'm going to be safe. This is where God's going to lead me. He's going to shelter me in His presence, which means that I need to go to His presence. So David knew that his greatest need, no matter what he was facing, no matter what trouble he was in, maybe I should stop saying it that way, no matter how he was troubled, he knew the safest place for him to be was in the presence of God. And it's the same concept when David says he would be hid in the secret of God's tabernacle. In time of trouble, God draws us to Himself, to His presence, for comfort. Has there ever been a time where maybe, I don't know, when you do your devotions or you spend your time with the Lord every day, but maybe it's in the morning. Has there ever been a time where you're reading your Bible and you can feel God is pulling your heart towards Him, and you wish it could last all day? And now I understand it could. You could sit there all day, and you could spend time with God all day, and maybe that's what we should do, but we also, you know, we have to go to work. And we got to take the kids to school, and we've got to take the dog out, and I understand there's other things we have to do, but that our desire is you're spending time with the Lord, and you're hearing from Him, and you can feel His presence, and you just wish you could just be there all day. You didn't have to do anything else. You didn't have to think about anything else. God's presence is where you wanted to be. I believe that's what David's heart was. I believe that to David, he had tasted the Lord, and everything else had lost its appeal to him. I believe he had seen the Lord, and everything else seemed just colorless to him. Nothing else was appealing to him because he had been in the presence of God, and that's what his desire was. Because he had spent time in the secret of God's tabernacle. He had spent time in God's presence. Look there again in verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. And we'll stop right there for a minute. David knew that, you know, with everything that's going on, I'm not doing anything special. I'm spending time with God. I'm seeking God's face. And because of that, he was anchored. He was steadfast. His head was lifted up above his enemies around him. He had nothing to fear. Have you ever seen a Christian who's going through an especially difficult time? But you know this is the type of person that they are because you can see it in their life that they are seeking the Lord. They're sincerely following after Him with all of their being. They're pursuing God. And have you ever thought about that person? You know, I know everything that's going on in their life, but they've won. Those things haven't defeated them because they've been in God's presence. That's what David is saying. He's saying, I've won. My enemies are surrounding me. I'm surrounded by the host who has come upon me to eat up my flesh. But I've been in the presence of God. I've been in the secret of His tabernacle. And He's lifted my head up above mine enemies. He's set me up upon a rock. I've won. They can't do anything to me because I've been in God's presence. And then he continues to say there in verse 6, "Therefore, so because of all these things, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy." You know, even when you're going through difficulty, when you're going through hardships and trials, you can be filled with joy. I hope you've felt that before. Is that you're in the middle of a difficult time, but you've purposed in your heart, you know what, no matter what we're going through, whether it gets worse, whether it gets better, I'm going to seek God. And I hope that you've felt that joy that fills your soul. And it's almost like it doesn't matter what the outcome is. You know, God may resolve this problem. God may not. God may take me away from this trouble. God may not. But even if he doesn't, I've been in God's presence and I'm full of joy. I hope that you felt that. That's what David is saying. He said, "I'll offer sacrifices of joy." He says, "I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." You know, when your soul is joyful, you can't help but sing praises to God. Now, maybe you don't want to get up here and just start singing in front of everybody. Or maybe this is just me, but if I'm in Walmart and I see someone who's like walking by themselves and singing, I'm kind of judgmental. I don't want to hear what you're singing. I think you're weird. Be quiet. Maybe you're the kind of person who sings in Walmart. So I'm sorry. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's probably my sinful, sin-stricken flesh bubbling up inside of me. But when you're joyful because you've been in God's presence, you can't help but sing, you know, praise Him, tell of His excellent goodness. Or you can't help but sing, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word." Or you can't help but sing, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide." Or the hymns of the faith that talk about how God is with you. "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea." That's one of my favorite hymns. But when you're full of joy because you've been in God's presence, you can't help but sing praises. And even if you're not singing out loud, you have a song in your spirit, and maybe the words come back to you. Maybe they don't. Maybe you're just humming the tune. I do that all the time because I don't remember what the words are, but I know what that song's about. And so I'll hum the tune. But you're full of joy. You're full of singing. You sing praises to God because you've been in His presence. David's joy, even though he was still in a time of trouble, it came from this source. David's joy stemmed from this. It stemmed from his fellowship with God. Sorry, I'm seeing if I've already said this before or not. I'll say it again anyways. There have been some times that I've been troubled. And I've said, "You know what, God? I'm worried about this. I want you to take this problem away because it's concerning me. But Lord, whether you do or whether you don't, I'm still going to praise you. And I'm still going to spend time with you. I'm not going to let that distract me from my time every day with you. That's my time with you because I need to seek you." And you know what? She wants me to hurry up and preach faster. And you know what? I had joy. And you know what? God may not have resolved my problems. I hope He resolves Robin's problems, because I don't know what her problem is. But God may not have God did not resolve my problems. But He gave me grace to get through it, and I could get through it because I had been in His presence. He had hid me in the secret of His tabernacle. I had been in His pavilion. I had spent time with Him, and I had joy in my spirit. But then David, this next section, David kind of pulls back the curtain. And he kind of shows the struggle that he was still going through, even though he knew, "I'm going to trust God." But he still kind of shows how your heart may struggle in difficulty. Look there in verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek." Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. So he tells God, hear me when I pray, when I cry. Have mercy upon me and answer me. He was saying something like, Father, I know you hear me. I know you're there because I've spent time with you. I've been with you. I've seen you work. But sometimes my prayers feel like they hit the ceiling. And they fall back down to the floor. And he's saying, God, answer me. Have mercy on me because I'm weak. Yes, I've seen you work. Yes, I know who you are. I know that you hung the stars in heaven. I know that all creation bows down to you. But I'm weak. And I need you to answer me. I do trust in you, but I need to hear your voice. David was the one who wrote, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David's thought is that I look at everything that you've made and I look at how small I am and how weak I am compared to my troubles and who am I, God? But the God that we serve is merciful and he is mindful of man. He is mindful of you and your problems. When in your troubles, God is mindful of us. David continues saying, when thou settest, that word's going to give me trouble all night. When thou settest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Maybe you've told God, listen, God, I've heard you calling me. I've felt you calling me to spend time with you. I know that's what you want me to do. So God, I'm going to seek you. And I will seek for you. I am determined that no matter what happens, I'm going to seek your face. And then David says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He's saying, Lord, don't be far away from me. My strength is small. And God, I'm seeking your face. I'm looking for you. I'm crying unto you. And yes, I'm going to sin. I have sinned against you in the past. I will sin against you in the future because I'm human. I am sinful flesh. I will sin against you. Have mercy on me, Lord. Don't put me away in anger. I'm troubled. I'm surrounded by trouble on every side. And God, even though I don't deserve your mercy for you to answer me, I need you to. God, don't cast me away in anger. Don't forsake me. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Even when the dearest on earth, the people who love me the most forsake me, God, bring me into your embrace. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. When I'm surrounded on all sides by trouble, dear God, lead me in your paths. Don't let me walk my own way. Psalm 17:5 says, hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. God, when I'm in trouble, lead me in your paths. Because the enemy's around me. I'm surrounded. I need you to guide me. But David was determined that he's going to seek God. Even though this is how his heart is struggling, this is how he feels in the moment when he is troubled, he is determined, I'm going to follow God. So then how could David keep going? What would motivate him to keep going? Because if that's the way we feel and we're in our own power, I have no reason to keep going because it's hopeless for me. So what kept David going? Look there in verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David had said, look, I would have given up. I would have drowned in the sea of despair. I would have, all of my trouble would have defeated me. All of my enemies would have won. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now look, David had seen it in the past. He had seen God deliver him from the lion, from the bear, from Goliath. David had seen the goodness of the Lord. And he said, look, if God has changed, if God is no longer good, then I would have fainted. But I know that God has not changed because I've spent time with him. He's still the same. And so I can keep going because I know that he is still good. And I know that I will see his goodness in this life, not in the next life. Now, we trust that we will see his goodness. We will see him face to face in the next life. And he will wipe all tears away from our eyes. But we can keep going because we trust that we will see God's goodness in this life. And you know, sometimes that's not, God doesn't show us his goodness by removing our problems. Sometimes he doesn't take us out of what trouble we're in. Sometimes God's goodness is giving us the ability to get through the trouble. This is my opinion. So I want to be very clear about that. But I believe sometimes that God can see our life spread out before him, and he knows what difficulties we're going to face. And in his grace and his tender mercy towards us who do not deserve it, he gives us exactly what we need, who we need to get through it. You know, maybe sometimes you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're going through a health crisis, and after a while you can look back and you can see, you know, God was good to me. He gave me this person who I know they were praying for me every day. And he gave me this person who was an encouragement for me. Just every time I saw them, they were just encouraging to me. Or there were times when I was weak and I felt alone and I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I was troubled and I went to God and I spent time in his presence, and he strengthened me and encouraged me. He was good to me. Sometimes that's what it means to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In this life, is to see God's goodness by him strengthening you and helping you and equipping you to endure the troubles, not to remove you from the troubles. And David said, I would have fainted if I didn't expect to see that. And then David exhorts us with one last verse. It's as if he had gone through all this and he had poured his heart out for us to see it. And he had drawn his conclusion and he had told us, yes, all of this is true. I'm struggling, but God is true. God is good. And I trust that I will see him so I can endure the troubles. And so then David gives us his last verse and he tells us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's like he's standing by and you're running a race. Maybe not a race, maybe a marathon. You're running a marathon. And you're almost there, but you're ready to give out, you're ready to quit because it's too hard. And you can hear David say, wait on the Lord. No, 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 no. Don't give up. Yes, the troubles are hard. Yes, it is difficult. But wait on the Lord. He will strengthen you. Look, I've spent time in God's presence. I've seen his goodness in the land of the living. I've run the same race that you have. I've gone through troubles as well. And I've gotten through because I've expected to see God's goodness. And you can do it too. Wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When I'm troubled, my first response is not, okay, I need to read my Bible. My first response is not, can I get any more prayer time today? My first response when I'm troubled is, what can I do? I've got to do something. And so my first response is to run around like a chicken with its head cut off and doing every possible thing I can do to solve my problems. This is what we need to do. When we're troubled, we need to wait on the Lord.